Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Testing the Experts.
Hello and welcome to Testing the Experts, presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory, where we're accurate, rapid, and consistent. I'm Tracy McDaniel, your host for the show. We are bringing our listeners a great guest today from Gwinnett Medical Center, Duluth Concussion Institute, their educational coordinator, Maria Chinenez. Hi, Maria. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, she says she's chatty, and I hope I can get the chatty out of her. So first, I just want to, talk to our listeners and, tell them a little bit about yourself and your background.
Absolutely. I was an elementary school teacher for many years and then became a school administrator. And I worked at both the elementary and the high school level. And most recently completed 25 years of service as an administrator in Gwinnett County Public Schools when this opportunity came along. And I moved into my new role here at the Concussion Institute.
Great. Now you say elementary school. I have two in elementary school. What was your favorite grade that you taught?
Probably kindergarten.
Okay, I have a kindergartner.
It's awesome.
They're sweet. They had their Easter egg hunt today.
Oh, how fun.
Yes. Well, I'm glad that you were able to, come in with us. And it's a dreary day here in Gwinnett, but hopefully the weekend will look nice. And I wanted to ask you, with the Concussion Institute, and you hear about concussions so much, and I played sports, and I, suffered from a concussion as well. And, you don't know what to expect, and it scares athletes, and, you can talk to them about it, but really when it happens, and it's a full force kind of deal, and you really have to take it seriously. So I appreciate your work, and as a coach as well, I appreciate, what you're doing. So it's important that we not only educate, but we know the follow-up protocol. And I want you to explain, about the Concussion Institute, how you became involved with them. We talked about a little bit about your background, but just kind of how you step into that role.
Absolutely. The Concussion Institute is at Gwinnett Medical Center in Duluth, and we have a very comprehensive approach. We have two neuropsychologists, Dr. Marla Shapiro and Dr. Adam Shunk, and then we have four athletic trainers, and we have two physical therapists who their specialty is in vestibular and ocular physical therapy, and then myself as the educational coordinator. So a patient comes in, and they're seen by the neuropsychologist. A series of evaluations and symptom rating scores are gathered. There's a physical exam completed by the athletic trainer. And then myself, I come in and communicate how they're doing in school, where the issues might be, and then the family leaves with a very comprehensive plan, and then I communicate to the schools what the student can and can't do while they're recovering from their injury.
Okay, you say vestibular and ocular. What does that mean in layman's terms?
From a concussion, oftentimes the students are dizzy, they're off balance, and when the athletic trainer does their evaluation, they find that those issues are truly, a concern. And so the physical therapist does a more extensive evaluation, and then there's a series of exercises where they can retrain the eyes to work together. They can do a series of exercises both with them during the therapy, and then the patients practice those at home a couple of times a day so that they can, get back fully, because balance, it just gets disrupted from the actual injury itself. And some, some patients don't suffer from that. So the brief evaluation done by the athletic trainer, doesn't show that, further therapy is needed. But if so, that's in-house as well.
Absolutely. Now, before I ask a little bit more details, some people don't know what a concussion is. So what, what is a concussion? Simple question.
Absolutely. It is a bump or a blow, usually to the head, that is hard enough to disrupt the metabolic functioning of the brain.
Okay. And so symptoms of a concussion, because, put into, we don't know, some people get hit and they don't realize they've had a concussion. I know we were talking about that a little bit earlier. What are the symptoms? What should we look for?
Headaches, nausea, dizziness. A lot of kids just say, I just don't feel like me, or I don't feel right. That's a very, very, very common symptom. Really sleepy. Sensitive, sensitivity, especially to light and noise, is also very common.
Okay. Now, with a concussion, and as an athlete, I hurt my knee. it's an obvious thing. I mean, I hurt my knee. It's dislocated. It's on the side. You know, I have an injury. With a concussion, how do you fight that? Especially the typical, you know, the coaches say, "Oh, get back out there," you know, and the players feel that pressure. You know, they don't want to lose a starting position. I mean, sports is their life, even at a young age. I mean, I see the competitiveness, especially in my son. You know, he's 6, and you know, you don't know how to kind of do that as a parent, because you want to say, okay, you want to push him hard, but you don't want to push him too hard. And we're learning more about that. But I mean, what are some of the things that you have to combat with that? And what do you tell these players, you know, when to say when?
That's a great question, because you're right. They are motivated, driven, and they want to get right back to play just as quickly as they can. We talk about that rest and recovery, that if they will follow the guidelines, most concussions resolve within several weeks. There are some that are, you know, of course, you know, last longer, you know, more troublesome, lots of other factors, pre-existing conditions, you know, that can complicate their recoveries. But for the most part, you're just talking several weeks. So what we tell them is that if they will do what we're asking now, which is primarily rest, rest, no physical activity, a reduction in what they do academically so that their brain can heal, because it's in crisis. It is desperately trying to heal itself. And if they'll give it that time, it will, you know, clearly do that, and they will get back faster to what they want and what they love.
Absolutely. Now, with the concussion side of it, you know, like I said, with an obvious injury, you go through that, and it's the hidden injury. And a lot of people, you know, they're not understanding of that. So what happens when this hidden injury, if you go back out? I mean, what are you risking?
Oh, you're risking, you know, significant permanent, possibly permanent damage. And you definitely, at least from what I'm learning and, you know, researching and finding, is that you must recover from a concussion prior to a second injury. So that's what we talk to our patients about. You don't want to jeopardize, you know, going back too soon. And with our protocol, you know, we're doing these evaluations and assessments. And when they come back for follow-ups, we're doing some of those again, and then we're looking for improvement. So once those patients are symptom-free, at rest, and 100% back in the classroom academically, we begin a 5-stage return to play protocol. So we exert them in the, you know, institute and start to, you know, move them up, you know, physically with their activity level. And we're looking to see if any of the symptoms reoccur. If they do, we pause and we begin that stage one literally the very next day. With many of the schools, stages 2, 3, and 4 are done at the school with the athletic trainer there. And it is sport specific. And then they return to the clinic for stage 5, where it is ramped up unbelievably. And if any symptoms were going to reoccur, we would know and they would know. And then from there, we return them back to their schools, to their athletic trainers, their coaches, and, you know, request that they do a practice, a non-contact, prior to, you know, actually returning to a game. So we feel pretty certain that through that process, you know, that they have recovered. But you're exactly right, because we run into this, especially in the classroom. You know, teachers look at our patients and go, you know, they look fine. No crutches, no wheelchair, no cast. You know, come on, honey, just try. You know, I think you can do this. And some of the patients, you know, initially have that kind of glazed over look. You can tell they're not themselves. But as the recovery is progressing, you know, they do. You know, they look fine. But, you know, they're not. Their brains are injured. And that's far more serious than a dislocated, you know, knee or sprain. And the other thing that athletes are very accustomed to is working through an injury. Mm-hmm. And concussions don't work that way.
They don't.
You cannot push through them. You have to take that time. And that's so difficult for them to understand so many times, because like you said, they are so motivated. They want to get back on the field. You know, they don't want to lose their spot. And, you know, they you know, try to speed it up. And unfortunately, it's not something you can fast forward with.
Oh, yeah. And you don't realize it. And I know so many athletes, they associate themselves with their sport or
Absolutely.
Their number, or, I mean, it's mm-hmm. their identity. So even sitting on the sideline for a little bit, and there's that sense of, you know, team, and they want to be a part of it, and they want to make sure that, you know, they're fulfilling their role. And it's, you know, and also the peer pressure of it.
Absolutely.
I know that's the hard part.
All of that.
So, I mean, why do you see, you know, why is it so important for the students to get back into their academic and their athletic routines? And I know you have this well thought out. I mean, this five stages. I had no idea there was a five stage process. But, I mean, what do you think it says for them that they're able to work through it and then get back onto the fields?
It's huge. And just like you said, I often use that phrase, it's their identity, mm-hmm. Especially these high school athletes. You know, they're driven in the classroom because they know they have to get it done in the classroom to be eligible to participate right. in, you know, sports at the high school level. But then it's the team, it's their position, it's that camaraderie, it's that being part of a group. They're all looking for a place to fit. Mm-hmm. And so they desperately want to return to that. It helps significantly with credibility with teachers because oftentimes, you know, the teachers see the, you know, the student very motivated to get back on the field. And now they know that they are the segue to back on the field, because until they're back in the classroom 100%, they aren't going to go back on the field.
Absolutely.
And that is different than historically, perhaps, you know, things were done.
Right. And I know I had a rule at home. If you don't go to school, you don't go to practice. So I was very motivated in the classroom, not to mention, you know, you have to get the good grades and everything else. But it was just known in our household. That's how it is. But the other side of it is you don't miss practice. So I was there even sick, I'm going to sit on the bench and support the team. You know, there were definitely rules and I was fine with that. So, and I know you mentioned your background and you mentioned being an administrator and everything. I mean, in your school administration, you've, you know, done 25 years of work, you know, in the school systems. Have you seen students suffering from concussions? And what did it look like? I mean, from the outward appearance and as a teacher, as an administrator?
Absolutely. I was on the receiving end of the medical documents I now send to schools.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, in the communication with the school, it's a little different in different schools, but typically through the athletic director, the counselor, the assistant principal that works with, you know, both of those groups, because typically there's a meeting. They'll sit down, they'll, you know, share with the teachers what the limitations are and what the expectations are of the teachers so that, you know, if there's any question about reduction, about waiting on test for right now, condensing work, extending deadlines, those are all the kinds of things we do. We know that the athlete is ultimately responsible for the content. Mm-hmm. Just there's lots of ways to demonstrate mastery of content without doing all of it while they're recovering. We try to tell teachers, look at this student athlete pre-injury. Now they're kind of in this little blip on their screen, and they'll return post-injury if we allow them that time to rest and recover in between. But yet they're still responsible, of course, at a, you know, semester or final exam. I mean, the content, you know, they still have to show mastery, but, you know, they can do, you know, 8 to 10 problems in whatever the math content is for, you know, that lesson rather than 20.
Right. So you're not basically beating them down when they're already beat down. Right. All right. So do you have any, you know, tips for parents? Because we've talked about the teachers and we've talked about the coaches, but, you know, the parents, they see their kids go out. And I know for me, trying to make that decision, you know, do I let my child play football? And he's six and he's little. And, you know, is that something that I want to do because of the risk of concussions and injury? And, you know, you don't think about it as much with soccer and other sports, which that's what I play, but concussions do happen in all of them, especially with football though. I mean, as a parent, you know, and I know you have kids as well. How did that affect you? And how does that affect your decisions with the concussion side of it?
I think it helps me in my role at the Concussion Institute because I kind of wear two hats. I wear the educator hat and I wear the mom hat. Mm-hmm. I'm the mom of two high school or former high school athletes who one of my sons suffered from 3 concussions and my other son from 2. They were soccer and football players. Mm-hmm. And I think the awareness for parents to know what the signs and indicators are, but I also think high school athletics have done just a tremendous job of education between the athletic trainers and the coaches to know what to look for and to, you know, make it okay for that athlete to come out to do that sideline evaluation. We have some of the best referrals are from teammates.
Yeah.
Because some hits don't look like they could result in a concussion. So a teammate several plays later or several minutes later in the game will say, hey, coach, you know, someone says, not himself,
right.
You know, and then they reflect back, you know, they pull him off, they do the eval and they reflect back and somebody remembers a hit or somebody saw something that, you know, perhaps didn't look as significant as, you know, some that you're more familiar with where, you know, there's a loss of consciousness or, you know, they get up and, you know, are, you know, unstable and, you know, wobbling around. So those are, you know, more, you know, obvious than some of the others. But I think from the parenting side, to be aware, to be educated, you know, to have confidence in the program that your child's participating in. But even five concussions later, yeah. I would never have, you know, told my sons that they couldn't play. Right. You know, and we were very fortunate. They fully recovered from each concussion prior to having the next one. Mm-hmm. And that is a key piece to all of this. I think that's why there's such a heightened awareness now, is that they really do need to be removed from the game, not continue playing, and err on the, you know, side of safety, and then have those sideline evaluations and then follow-up care from there.
Absolutely. And I know as a whole, I mean, when we're watching sports and you know, the little hits happen that you think could be little hits, but they could result in concussions as well. But, you know, then you hear the crowd that oohs and, you know, and you get a big hit and people are hunting for those. Players are hunting for those. And I mean, how do you educate the players, you know, to make sure that they're hitting properly and they're wearing their safety equipment? And also, what safety equipment, you know, do they have, and how has it evolved to help with the concussion side of it?
I think it's evolved tremendously. And I think both the education of coaches and then along with their teams, I think there's a renewed interest. I think there was always, they've always been conscious of it. I think they've always done the best with what they had. But now there's so much more information out there, you know, equipment-based. Strength and conditioning is a huge piece to the athletic part, that, you know, they are in great physical shape when they, you know, are playing their sport. And then the how to play their sport, which may be a very elementary way of saying it,
right.
But I think that's a key piece. And I think that, you know, as you know, the competitiveness of high school sports is just continuing to, you know, increase. So I think there's that competitiveness, but I think also that coaches, you know, are clearly understanding that, you know, the more informed and prepared, you know, both physically and skill set wise, their athletes are, of course, the better they'll perform, and then also the less likely they will to be injured.
That's great. So preparation
absolutely
will help prevent the injury, even with the concussion side of it, and the technical side of it, I think, is important as well. If we're teaching them, you know, the proper, you know, techniques when they get on the field, it's going to be a huge improvement as well.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I want to remind everyone, you're listening to Testing the Experts, presented by ComfortMatrix Laboratory, where we're accurate, rapid, and consistent. Today, I'm with Maria Chinenez, and she is with the Gwinnett Medical Concussion Institute in Duluth, correct?
Yes.
All right. And we're talking about, you know, her background, her kids, and how she lights up to talk about her two boys. Unfortunately, she speaks from experience because within the two, they've had five concussions total. So, you know, we go into that a little bit, and we talk about the competitiveness of sports and why she does what she does. But when you're at work, you know, who do you work with in your role as a liaison? What are, you know, really, when you go in to do something, to do your job, I mean, who are you really touching?
I would like to think it's a wide net. I'm, you know, initially, you know, interviewing and, you know, listening to the parent and, you know, the patient, and then trying to get a feel for their school and their school day, and looking at what their schedule is, the rigor of their classes, the opportunities for breaks throughout the day, classes that they find more difficult that will be more difficult as they recover, and then my communication to the school. And it's a little bit different at different schools, but, you know, ultimately I'm trying to get to that classroom teacher who's actually going to interact with that child for 1 hour or several hours, depending upon the student's schedule. And we have great success with teachers who also are educated and aware. We actually go out into the community and speak to faculty, faculties at different schools, and share our information. And because we think it's just critical that they understand, there's almost like that aha moment. Mm-hmm. When we talk about a rest, work, rest model, that, you know, a teacher will say, well, you know, honey, just do what you can. And then, you know, the student feels like, well, if they just want me to do it, I can. I should probably try to do all of it, right. You know, rather than saying, I'm going to highlight these five, these four, you know, these eight, you know, just kind of do what you can. And then, you know, don't forget to take a, you know, a rest break in a little bit, because that kind of resets them. If they can, you know, work, rest, work, they won't be able to do the quantity, but they'll be able to, you know, accomplish some of the work. And that's just a huge piece. Teachers and educators that we work with in the schools who either themselves have had concussions, mm-hmm. or their own children, right. or if they've coached and they've had players, it's just a dramatic difference. And so we're trying, you know, one school at a time, one patient at a time, to get that information out. And I think that the schools are seeing that the request for accommodations are reasonable. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not asking for them to be excused from responsibility for content, but, you know, a manageable amount as they can recover in extensions on deadlines. I mean, very reasonable accommodations. And again, like we talked earlier, no one wants to get back to 100% any more than that student athlete does. They are just driven.
And I think the teachers kind of see the gamut of it. They see students that, you know, aren't as motivated, and then they see that, you know, the student athletes that they've had this injury and they are motivated. And I think it's sometimes hard for a teacher to step away and look at the total situation, because they want to push their students just as much, you know, one or the other. But they're also used to hearing the "my dog ate my homework" excuse and those type of things. So when you're coming in, you know, you're taking some time to educate the teachers and the schools, just to know that this is real and this isn't just another excuse that you might hear from some of the other students. And I think that's important, because the athletes feel like there's someone in my corner, and they're already suffering because they're upset that they can't play, and it's so much of their identity. So really, your role, I mean, they feel like they have a voice, and an adult voice, and someone that can understand. So it's truly important. And, you know, I think as an athlete, it would have been nice to have something like this, you know, center when I was going through mm-hmm. school. And, you know, I want you to talk a little bit about the actual facility. Like when the student athletes go there with their parents, I mean, let's talk about, because I know that Gwinnett Medical, they do everything well. And so, and well is probably a very much an understatement, I should say. But, you know, talk about the experience that they're going to have. You talked about the different stages and everything, but just from walking into the doors, you know, and the size of the institute.
Absolutely. Like I said, I'd like to think, you know, we are very comprehensive with the different prongs, but very warm and welcoming. We do an initial phone intake prior to the patient even coming in. And if it's an adult athlete, a college athlete, of course, we talk to them. If they're younger, we actually talk to the parent. So we gather some background information before they ever arrive. And many of our schools, the athletic trainers actually send us their evaluations ahead of time, so our athletic trainers can review that. So we kind of have a snapshot of the patient before they ever arrive. And they come in, and they meet our wonderful front office administrators, and we do an intake process to gather all their information. And then they go first, you know, to the exam room. We have just, you know, 6-8 exam rooms. We have two exertion rooms where we have, you know, sports specific, you know, activities that the students do for exertion as they're moving through those stages. And then the two physical therapists that do the vestibular and ocular evaluations. So they meet first with the neuropsychologist, either Dr. Shunker or Dr. Shapiro. And then one of the four trainers is also there at that initial, interview, gathering of information and explanation again of the injury. And they're looking for certain key points, so they direct their questions down mm-hmm. those paths. And then at that point, the neuropsychologist leaves, and the athletic trainer does their, you know, physical exam. And then from there, that care plan or that document that is starting to summarize, you know, what we found and, you know, what's been done thus far, and then what the recommendations are moving forward. And that credibility piece is huge as I communicate to the schools, and I tell students that. You know, we talk about the, you know, home, you know, part of this, that they should do a work, rest, work model at home as well. So the education of the parent is key as well. A lot of times, you know, I've observed the neuropsychologist, you know, talking to the patient, but you can see how attentive the parent is, because unless you know, their child or themselves have had a concussion, this is probably their first experience with it. So they too are learning, a great deal at that time. And then, in the evenings, you know, trying to, you know, do the work that they can do and then communicating back, you know, taking the parent out of that piece of communicating to the school is huge as well. Because I think with, you know, my background and skill set, there's that credibility as I'm communicating out to the schools that, you know, the parent may or may not, you know, ask for more than this, you know, patient might need, or maybe even less, so that, you know, they think, well, they'll get better quicker. So if it comes, you know, directly from the institute, from me, and then, like I said, the parents are, of course, an integral part of that. They will often meet at the school level, and, you know, discuss the progress that's being made.
All right. It sounds like my mom should have scaled back on my chores when I had my concussion, right?
Yes, absolutely.
work, and rest some more. I went to high school in Hawaii, so it would have been really nice to cut back on some of those chores.
Yes.
And just been at the beach the whole time recovering.
Definitely, with sunglasses on.
Absolutely. Yes, because you get headaches, and I remember this. Well, and you have an event coming up May 20th, and I want you to share with our listeners a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Annually, the Gwinnett Medical Center Foundation sponsors a golf tournament, and is the Dr. Miles H. Mason Jr. Memorial Golf Tournament. And this year, the Concussion Institute is going to be the beneficiary of the proceeds. Mm-hmm. And we would encourage, you know, everyone to take a look at more information on the website and consider coming out that day.
Yeah, and Confirmatrix will be there. We're sponsoring two teams, so the boys will get out there and have a good time. It's at Chateau Elan, which is a beautiful course. So I believe it starts early in the morning, and I'm sure it will go late into the afternoon. But yeah, we will cover Chateau, I think, both courses, and it's going to be a great event. We're looking forward to it.
Well, and the Concussion Institute is extremely appreciative.
Good. I'm glad. And I want you to just, you know, as we wrap up, I want you to tell everyone where our listeners can go to find more about the Gwinnett Medical Concussion Institute and the work that you're doing there. If they want to call in, if they have a concussion, you know, if you talk about the phone intake, you know, where can they go to find out more information or to actually, you know, go into the program?
We have a link, you know, directly from Gwinnett Medical Center at Duluth. And then, of course, we have our own website as well at Concussions. And, you know, any information they might want, our direct line is 678-312-7880. And we are, you know, happy to share our information, answer any questions, and, you know, be of a service to the community. We feel that we are filling a niche that has, you know, there's been a void, and that we can help, you know, student athletes, and, you know, get the word out that there's some, you know, a great program going on.
Absolutely. I'd say across the board, there's been a void in this topic. So I really appreciate the work that you're doing. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Maria. And again, I was interviewing Maria Chinenez, and she's the educational coordinator for Gwinnett Medical Center's Duluth Concussion Institute. You've been listening to Testing the Experts, presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory. Remember that our show airs live every Friday at 1 o'clock on Business Radio X. If you miss our live broadcast, you can listen to any of our shows anytime, 24/7, by visiting testingtheexperts.businessradiox.com. I'm Tracy McDaniel for Testing the Experts at Confirmatrix Laboratory. We are accurate, rapid, and consistent.